Hello, good people, and welcome to, this is season four, the first ever season four, and the first episode of season four.
And the first ever first episode of season four, so SO4EO1, here we are.
Gosh, my head hurts. Of the Brunswick Beer Collective, and we're just back from our, it was only a 2 week break this time. We usually go 4 weeks, but this time it's 2 weeks, mostly because we have so much other crap that we have to get done in the next few months.
And of course, there's a rather special event on today.
Exactly. And sorry, I should introduce. So I'm Chris Shorten, as usual. With me is Jeffrey Chi.
Good day.
And Paul Christoph.
Morning. Afternoon, actually.
Afternoon by
all
now.
All of those.
We started drinking in the morning, though.
Yeah.
True.
Well, I mean, you've got to be dedicated. Because the reason why that we started drinking in the morning, because obviously, maybe you don't need a reason.
It was Saturday.
Technically, we were probably all drinking in the morning. It was just like early morning.
That's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, people talk about like, oh, I would never drink before noon. It's like, well, you do drink before noon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you drink at 1 a.m., you drink at 2 a.m., but there is some inflection point where it's now, no.
Yeah.
Like 7 a.m. or something, like can't drink now.
Well, talking about all that, so we were musing about the other day the article that Matt Barry put up, who is the head of Freelancer, about the Sydney issues with buying beer or buying alcohol after certain hours, and you can't buy a bottle of wine after 10 p.m. But you can't get a scotch on its own.
Because it counts as a shot.
Yeah, after midnight. But you can get a scotch and cola, but you can't get a scotch and cola inside a can.
Because that's an alcohol.
Yes.
But you can get it in a glass.
Yes.
Yes.
I see. That's very odd.
Unintended consequences of legislation that's been passed without really knee-jerk passage of legislation.
Mm.
And, I mean, I read it and I pretty much, look, I emailed it to you guys the moment I read it, but it was just, it totally freaked me out.
So well researched.
Yeah. I mean, it's like 8,000 words long. It should be well researched. And there was no filler.
Nope.
It was just a reanalysis of all the strange things that are going on in Sydney's liquor laws.
And the whole thing's just, it's complete balls, basically.
Yeah.
The whole, like, sort of, it's just rubbish. Like, you know, why people should be, you need to play common sense. When you're doing these things, you need to go like, okay, you compare these things on like-for-like basis, and you're like, is this thing materially worse or better than the other thing?
Yeah.
Rather than going like, oh, no, it's in a can, and so that's a problem. It's in the bottles, that's a problem, but it's in a glass. Oh, no problem, same thing.
Look. It's logic gets thrown out the window. But
yeah, crazy idea. If they really want to solve alcohol fueled violence, how about we, you know, realize this is a societal problem, and it's probably going to take a generation to get us drinking
exactly
the way, you know, people on continental Europe do.
Yeah, it
doesn't quite fit into the 4-year election cycle.
No, but we started this episode on a very, very serious note, and we really shouldn't have, because so right now,
but it's very important.
It is very true, but
look what we're looking at. This is amazing.
Right now, I'm staring off into a race course where there's a lot of witches' hats out.
No horses, though.
No horses, which is good.
A lot of brewers.
Because instead, there's going to be keg rolling.
Because
we are at the Geelong Beer Festival. Sorry, that's not how it's... Well, not
Great Australian Beer Festival.
Great Australian Beer Festival, Geelong.
Okay.
I think it's just Gabfer, Geelong.
Gabfer.
Okay, that kind of sort of, I can say that out loud. Do we feel good about that?
I'm fine with it, yeah.
I'm feeling good.
That's as good as we're going to get, I think.
And obviously, hell, we finished the last season at Ballarat Beer Festival, which was equally cool. And we're upstairs, we're looking out onto the race course, and we have three beers.
Yeah, in the committee room.
Yeah. So
we are a committee, the Brunswick Beer Committee.
Well, look, the other week we were the Brunswick
Gin Collective.
The seat
can stand for many
things.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, given it was meant to be a rip-off of the BBC to begin with.
Well, it is the BBC.
Exactly. But the different sort of BBC.
Just better.
Yeah. Definitely.
Definitely.
We have the same amount of resources.
Correct.
Right. Yeah, we're not funded by any government.
So, anyway, we're going to go with our usual festival format, and we'll go for three beers today. Only we'll all have a taste, and we'll all sample them and see where they go. And so we always try and go with beers that we wouldn't normally find, I suppose. And so I'm going to start out.
Yep.
And this is from, where is it from?
Forest Brewing.
Forest Brewing, thank you.
The Topaz, the Pilsner.
See, this is why I always ask you guys.
Located in the small town of Forest, just outside of the Otways, or I guess you could say they're in the Otways, really. Yeah, just outside of the rainforest.
Pretty Otway-ish, yeah.
Yeah, it's like part, you part leave the exit the rainforest, and you know, 5 minutes later, bam, you're there.
I know the
great
area.
Little brewery, good food too. Really good food.
Topaz Summer Pilsner Series. It's 4.5% ABV, and I got all this because I took a photo of the tap.
And just before you ask, there's pretty much no one who's checked this beer in.
Gosh, really?
Very
like,
good.
There's literally 5 check-ins for this beer.
All today?
So, okay, the big question is...
Not all today.
So, what is the difference between a summer pilsner and a regular pilsner? Actually, I already know this answer. Or at least, that it was explained to me as being, because it has a little bit of lime in it, it's more zesty.
Okay, I was going to say nothing.
I was going to say nothing. It's brewed in the summer, it's meant to be drunk in the summer, but... Aren't all pilsners really?
Well,
you can drink them whenever, yeah, obviously. But
exactly. Let's not go down the road of restricting beers.
A pilsner is a nice light.
And actually, during the break, I was doing a bit of reading because I don't read often. I was reading this article about the most overrated and underrated beer styles, and not surprisingly, the most overrated beer styles would be things like West Coast IPA, Imperial Stout, etc. People love that shit, right? People just love the whole more hot, more hot, more hot, more coffee, more chocolate, more booze, right? The underrated styles, again, not surprising, things like actually the Pilsner comes up, and it harks back to the conversation we had at Hawker's Brewery where Marzen talked about the fact that the Pilsner is one of the hardest styles to brew because if you fuck it up, you've got nothing to hide behind, right? So
it's
so
true.
It's got to be clean, it's got to be crisp, it's got to be right, otherwise it's just... Mm. You can't just, I'll just chuck a few more hops in there and it'll solve the problem. So.
Yeah. Although, as an aside to that, why is there a beer out there called Mahop, Mahop, Mahop?
If there isn't, we should make it.
Yeah, we'll put it on the list of beers we shall make.
Well, talking of making beers,
watch
this space.
Yes, we have been talking with people who make beers about
making
beers.
A beer.
We'll not
make beer, though.
No, not make
beer. We're Danish, aren't they?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, we... I would love to make beer if you're listening and you want to fly us over to Denmark to bake beer. Hey, bake beer. Has anyone ever baked a beer before?
I suspect there's a reason why no one's ever done it.
You can bake the hops.
Though talking about...
You could bake the hops.
Could you?
Sure, you could bake hops, couldn't you?
More hop, more hop, more hop.
We'd have to do something bready related with bread and molten. Anyway, off topic.
Although we were talking about, so prior to this point, we're having the Bridge Road Pale. Beechworth Pale, sorry.
Which is from Bridge Road Brewery, of course.
And that it referred to on the description as being, it was developed. The beer was developed in 2015. Sorry, 2005. And it sort of seemed like a really weird word to describe making beer. It's not created, it's developed. I mean,
sounds very scientific.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it is.
It is, which it is.
The whole process is scientific.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, cooking recipes, any kind of recipe is really scientific, isn't it? Flavour is ultimately a combination of chemicals and, right?
Which is kind of an ultimate, art meets science scenario.
It's like that band, art versus science. That's where they got their name.
Why does it have to be a fight, Paul?
It's not necessarily a fight.
Yes, it is.
Well, it's in music, fights aren't necessarily bad things.
But also, I mean, in Street Fighter...
Can't we all just get along?
But in music, it usually isn't. Like, you know, they say A versus B. It's not... It's
but when you get remixes, you know?
These days, it's more like feet. You know, Coldplay feet Rihanna or feet Beyonce or Beyonce feet Beyonce.
Yeah, now, why does there have to be Coldplay? Why can't we just have a world with no Coldplay?
And why can't we have a world where Paul's phone is on silent?
You saw me put it on silent.
It's impossible to put that phone on silent.
Sony, if you're listening, it's on silent.
Yeah, it's just.
No, I think that's
my phone won't go off vibrate, but that's this is a level beyond.
So what it is each app has its own volume control, so I have to get out of every app and then turn the volume up.
So anyway, let's go back.
Anyway, we digress. We digress much.
So what? What do we think about this Summit Pilsner?
I need a crack at this.
Oh, of course you do. I mean, I find it quite refreshing. I find it slightly different to a regular Pilsner, I like.
It's refreshing. It's got a nice little aftertaste to it there. It's a bit different.
Man, I mean, Because you and I were talking last night about how I really love Brooklyn Brewery's Pilsner.
Yes.
But you can't get it outside of the States. And I don't know why.
We should qualify that because I'm sure
someone, or at least I've never seen
someone
it.
Someone will tweet us and say that. Oh, yes.
It's everywhere.
Yeah. But let us know if you've seen it because Chris hasn't been able to find it. And I've never looked for it.
But it always tasted like a slightly different Pilsner as well. Yeah, Jeff has been mulling
this. Like it's not because I mean I kind of compare it to say your traditional Czech Pilsner, which definitely has a lot more malt profile than this beer. This beer is very
summery,
unmalty. I don't know,
unmalty.
Maybe that's what makes it a summer Pilsner. But but that said, it's fine.
Mm.
I drink it, but I think when we get to the ratings, we will see where we all land on this.
Well,
but it's,
what do we rate? Because we are at the ratings.
Well, I've given it a 3.75. I like it. That aftertaste is... I don't know what it is, but I really like it. Yeah.
I'm going to give my rating because I suspect my rating will not matter when we get to the end of it. Right. I'm going to give it a 3 because it's just not doing it for me, that beer.
I'm also giving it a 3.75.
See, I knew that was going to happen. That's why I felt the need to make my...
We are so predictable now.
There you go.
All right. And we're back, and I guess one of the rare things, or one of the good things about when we go, when we have a bit of a break, is that we end up exploring places, and we end up going places, and we have more stories usually. Hmm. And in this case, Jeff, where'd you go?
Well, it was a long way, so it's a place we've been meaning to get to, so I don't know, well, I mean, you guys know where it is, but so Brayside, which is probably about halfway from Melbourne CBD down to Mornington, Boat Rocker. Have their brewery down there, but they have their brewery down there, but recently they opened up their barrel room, which is where they're doing all their barrel aged beers. So
which is something I've been living vicariously through Instagram on.
Exactly. Yeah. So they're doing,
everyone's checking in at that.
So they, you know, they released their Brambic a little while ago, which I think sold out within.
That's a lambic of some description.
It's a lambic. From Bray. Maybe it's a Brett or maybe it's a brown.
Oh, please, no Brett.
I didn't.
Or a Bray.
I couldn't get it basically. But yeah, it could be a Brayside lambic. Mm. Who knows? And then they also had the Gaston and the Adventus. They had all those
great
three
beers.
Come out of there. So they were all great beers. And so there was a couple of weeks ago. There was what they called Boat Roquefort, so Roquefort cheese, or however, I don't know if I pronounced that correctly. And so they had a beer and cheese matching event down there. And so you two dudes couldn't make it, but I went down there and went down with a mate. And it was just cool to see the space. You know, it's literally just a huge barrel room. They've got this really nice, it's like a chalkboard that they acquired recently that's got the Boat Rocker logo kind of emblazoned on it.
I would like to think there's a school somewhere that's just sort of like
missing a chalkboard.
Sorry, children, there'll be no more lessons today. Yay!
Sounds like a Simpsons episode. Yeah,
it sounds exactly like a Simpsons episode.
So they've got the bar set up, you know, American style, taps on the wall, and they've got all their beers on tap available. But we went down there for the beer and cheese matching, and so piggyback events. They were doing the cheese side of things. They did a really good job. Like I actually tried. And this is to my new beers resolution. Tried quite a few beers that I've had before that I really liked that I hadn't had in ages because of the obsession with trying new beers. So one was
And of course you would never have had them with cheese.
Exactly. Mm. So one was the Alpha Queen, which is classic. Was one of the original American pale ales that came out when it was pretty much before people like, say, Cooinda, and not that all these aren't good. These are all good beers, but Cooinda's American pale ale, the Mornington Pale Ale, Pirate Life, all these breweries sort of bring out, you know, the hoppier and hoppier pale ales. This was This is one of the first that sort of really started to push the hop profile. And now you drink it and you don't really think of it as a hoppy beer, but at the time you drank it and it blew my mind. I remember the first time I had it and it was at the Cranway Hotel in Fitzroy North and it was amazing.
So the big question out of all this is, so now you're combining a beer that you've already had before. And you combine it with cheese. What was the experience?
And the cheese that you may have had before?
It wasn't cheese I had before. I'm not very well versed in cheese. So it was... I mean, I like cheese. Don't get me wrong. Who doesn't like cheese? But no, they did a really good job with that too. They did it... It was quite weird, actually. So they matched the first beer, which was the Boat Rocker, which the Alpha Queen, which was the least punchy beer. Because they followed that up with a Hop Bomb, which, as you can imagine, is quite a bit hoppier than the first beer.
And bombier.
But they matched it with a blue cheese, Okay. Which is not the way you would normally start a cheese tasting, because normally, like a wine tasting, you would start with the least punchy thing first and move through. But it actually worked quite well because, you know, I think the, you know, the strength of the cheese and the beer kind of blended well together, and then they sort of progressed through and the beers got stronger. So you have the Hop Bomb, then we had a couple of their barrel-aged beers, and we finished on the Roger Ramjet.
The bourbon,
I think it's the bourbon barrel aged one, which was amazing. Hadn't had it before. And then the cheeses kind of went through this weird sort of, they went strong and then like less strong, but then finished strong at the end. So yeah, it was.
I mean, I'm really envious based on your detailed description.
Yeah, it sounds fantastic.
It was a really cool event, and also
I wouldn't have picked it really.
When I got down there, the first beer I had actually was the Miss Pinky, their raspberry, which we had at the gala last year. And still, that was the thing I reckon that converted me over to the Berliner Weiss style. I think I've spent too much time with my head up my ass going, I need more hops, I need more booze, I need more whatever. And I never really appreciated the style. And that just really also just reinforced.
That's the thing, lower carb beer. Can you imagine if they were selling the Miss Pinky at stadiums?
Yeah. Well, you'd drink that kind of stuff. You could literally drink it all day and it'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I actually had the Miss Pinky on Australia Day. It was at the Woodlands Hotel in Coburg.
Ah, the good old Woodlands.
That, which is still a fine, fine craft beer selection.
Yeah, it is.
And they decent did have Jump too. In the Shark 2014, I think.
Which is the...
2014. The
that's
saffron
the saffron one.
Yeah.
One.
Oh, yeah.
That's a challenging beer.
That was a challenge.
Well, that was the moment I saw it, because Paul and I had that conversation like a week or two ago, where he said if they had the 2015 one or something, that would be great. And then, he saw the 2014 and he's like, no.
Like my magically deleted 2015.
Mm.
Yeah. People at Moondog, I did have that 2015. Just because it wasn't released to the public, I did have it. I want my chicken back.
Alrighty.
But no, saffron in a beer. That is a very good point, though, because I've never used saffron in cooking myself, but I made some saffron rice the other day. So 2 cups of rice, 4 strands of saffron is all that was required.
Pretty
to
punchy.
To get a decent
pretty
saffron
punchy.
Taste. So I'm wondering if they... I'm thinking they definitely overestimated how much saffron was required.
And I'm based on... Moondog, we were there, right?
They,
we saw the pile of saffron they had left over after brewing that beer. Like, they had a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have half a jar of saffron that I bought, several years ago. It lasts
forever. Saffron's actually banned in my apartment block. You're not allowed to bring saffron in.
It's like durian. Like durian. In Asian hotels. Yeah. You don't need to say the word durian. There's just a spiky fruit with a line through it. It's like...
No pineapples? No, durian, fool.
All right. I know we could talk about that all day. But
and we will.
Beer.
Durian beer. Oh, yeah.
Edit,
oh
bitch.
God, that would be awful.
There's a challenge. Anyway, moving on.
All right. Second beer. What are we drinking?
We are drinking the Festival Beer by Barrow Boys. It is
we always like a festival.
The beer we were told that we would probably never see anywhere ever elsewhere. And then we all checked it in Ballarat Beer Festival. So it's not a unique...
I hadn't. So
no, I had.
I hadn't. So
you definitely had it.
Well, if I had it, I didn't check it in.
So it's not a unique festival beer. It's clearly a beer that they bring out at festivals.
But maybe they will not see it again after today.
Please, but they've got Gabs coming up. That's another festival.
Yeah, please let us know. Is the festival beer different at every festival, or is it...
Well, that is a really good question.
Yeah, because... just curious. Let us know, people at Barrow Boys.
So it's basically a Saison, so farmhouse-style ale, 4%, so pretty light, pretty easy drinking.
Strangely, it doesn't quite have the... it does taste like a Saison, but it's a super light Saison. It's like it's like a super acceptable Saison.
Similar in many ways to the Pilsner we had.
I think we're too used to Saisons like the, the Lasserine Saison
What was that Belgian one we had that was wrapped in the paper? The Duranka or whatever?
The Duranka,
same company, yeah.
Correct. Like all these, like I think Saison is a style where we were getting told earlier, you know, the farmers would... it's not called a farmhouse ale for no reason. Right?
No.
The farmers will take it out into the fields, have it with their lunch, continue working.
Why can't we do that in regular office jobs?
The yeast could be anything. It's really location based, isn't it?
I think it's very much like the concept of the session ale, because the concept of the session beer was that you could work in the factory, go to the pub, have your beer, go back to the factory, keep working afterwards. If you're drinking 6-7% beers, you can't do that.
So if we go. Hold on to that concept for a second there. What is that what they're trying to do with a festival beer here?
Well, I suspect they're trying to go back to the roots of what the farmhouse ale actually was, because these guys were like...
Yeah, but then why would you call it a festival beer, though?
Oh, because it's probably only been available at the festivals.
Yeah, they do it for the festivals. Like, it's not festival beer is not a style, Chris.
I know, but what does that say about festivals if you tie a farmhouse beer with a festival?
Well, I think it just means. Well, I think like anyone's festival beer. So, like, say for example, if
something we're doing that we don't usually do.
Say if Moondog did a festival beer, it might be like a normal lager or something like that, because
it could be a saffron infused lager. Good way to get rid of all that saffron they've got sitting around at the back.
the endless buildings of saffron. Yeah, they got it on sale.
I mean, festival beer, basically, you should just interpret that as something experimentally different that we wanted to do.
Yeah, I still think that's what people should use their festival beer.
Yeah, that's right. Or if we've got a new brew that we want to, like, you know, try and kind of get out to market, let's just try it.
Then you'll pick up the enthusiasm.
That's right. You are actually talking to people that are drinking it, and
that's right.
That's kind of market research.
And hopefully they'll tell you, like, rather than just going like, "Oh, this is awesome," they'll actually tell you, like, "A, actually, like, it kind of works on this front, but it doesn't work in this way."
Well, I think if you're doing that, it is very important to say that this is a beer we're testing. Be honest about it. Because if you don't say that and you're a brewer, most people are not trying to offend you. Most people are trying to be nice. It's nice.
Yeah.
Well, it's like that post that you emailed us the other day about food media.
Yes.
Which we could spend an hour talking about that. We won't. But
it
we do have an interesting comment on that, but that'll be coming up on the City Lane.
But
soon.
So what do we think about this beer then?
I'm giving it 3.5. Same I gave it last time. It's a solid, sessionable, festival, summer, whatever you want to call it. It's a nice, easy drinking beer. I like it.
Yeah, I think I have to agree. I think 3.5, like, this one I would drink again.
Yeah.
It's perfectly acceptable. It's nice.
It would never offend you. It's one that you could take home and meet the family.
Yeah, it would never hurt me. It would never make me cry.
I don't know if I'd take it and meet my family, but like, it's more that my family don't really drink is more the issue. It's not that my family would hate it.
Alrighty. I'd probably give it a 3.5 as well.
Easy. It's
just easy. And we're back one more time. Please never do that again. We're back one more.
That's why it's one more time, Chris. You only do it one more time. And I did it one more time.
Just drink your damn beer. What are we drinking?
We are drinking the Hefeweizen from Grant Morley. So Grant is a homebrewer, and he won the Homebrewer of the Year award, or the Homebrewer of the Year for this beer last year's Gabfa.
Oh.
So this year he's teamed up with Little Creatures. Obviously have their main brewery these days in Geelong. And they've kind of helped him brew it in large quantities to put on for
Gabfa.
The 2016 Gabfa.
Well, I'm actually really, really looking forward to tasting this.
Definitely a beer you won't find anywhere else, except for Grant's house, I suppose.
Grant, if you're listening, which we don't really need to, we can just go downstairs and talk to him. Thank you.
It's really nice, actually.
It's a really solid Hefeweizen, and it's as for the thing with all the beers we've drunk today, it's a very light,
it's
summer appropriate beer.
It's super light.
It's really got that nice banana kind of flavour that you want, but it's nothing's overpowering anything.
It's really well balanced,
Well balanced, that's exactly the term.
Yeah, no, I can see why this won, actually. Yeah. Because the Hefeweizen's not only the style I get into, like with a lot of styles. It's like, I don't really like the style, but if I get a nice version of it, there's good versions of everything.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like the whole people don't like rap music and then they hear a really good rap song. Yeah. And it's sort of like, yes, that's awesome. That's because you heard a great rap song. Yeah.
Yep.
But no, that's a really nice beer.
It is. Amazing. Really good.
So have we, has it already been checked in by everyone? Or?
I added it and checked it in.
Yeah, I've checked it
in. Surprisingly, Grant did not add it into Untappd.
Gosh, all right. I feel like we're trailblazers now.
Here's another question for brewers. I mean, I would think that if I was running a brewery, so first thing you do, right? Set up your social media accounts. Make sure you've got your website, got your presence on all your social media accounts. And whenever I'd brew a beer and I'm going to release it to market, I would be adding it to Untappd, as it's about to hit market. I think that's something that...
I think it's definitely a due diligence. It doesn't take much effort.
No.
But
get a nice little photo on there. And
yep.
Although, interestingly, just slightly off topic there about anyone who's on Untappd would have seen the email where... So every now and then I'll mention to someone about how I have no idea how Untappd make any money. As it turns out, based on that email, Niv did they. So that they're merging with...
two guys that would do it in their spare time after work.
Which we all know that feeling quite well.
And now they've sold out to a... And I don't mean... Sold out is not the right word. They've sold their majority equity to a...
It was like another beer sort of...
a much larger company that deals in essentially drinking-related apps and events and things. And
but it was just... It's just really interesting because if you sort of... If you look at the craft beer culture, it's so connected with Untappd.
Yeah.
And, you know, we sort of speak of it as if it's like, you know, you've got Google, you've got Apple, you've got Untappd. And the fact that it's just a couple of guys who just threw it together. Well,
amazing.
Okay, not threw it together.
I think it's amazing. And it explains a lot of times, like, why don't Untappd do that? Why don't Untappd do that?
It's like, that's why.
Yeah, because they've just done a day job and they've got home from work and they've got a couple hours before going to bed. But that's why they haven't done
like
all the things that they want to do.
That, like, they've done what they've done.
What they've achieved.
Yeah, I mean, massive
fantastic.
Props to the guys for getting, like... Yeah, because we all assumed it was much bigger than it was, right?
Yeah.
But
it's fantastic what they've done because it's going to allow the app to become... have a lot of those more refined things and extra features that I think we've all thought are great and have never been implemented.
And I suppose that, you know, we're totally off topic now, but we've often said the Untappd if you're listening. But Untappd if you are listening, you guys have done a fucking amazing job. Well done.
Yeah, good stuff.
Now, what do we think of this beer?
I'm giving it a 4. It's a really good Hefeweizen.
Yeah. It's a quality Hefeweizen, 4. I totally agree. So that was our last beer for this episode. And we're... look, it's probably in about half an hour. The keg rolling's going to start. And obviously we need to get out there. I'm not entirely sure why, but we need to get out there amongst the keg rolling. We're going to drink a lot more beer. We're still at the Geelong Beer Festival. It's going to be awesome. I'm really excited about
this. I'd say come and say hi, but by the time you listen to this, it'll be Thursday.
Long gone, but we'll be on social media, whatever media you care to name.
All you know where to find us.
And I'm sure the Instagram will flow thick and fast, so you'll be able to think about it later on. Anyway, we should finish up there. We'll be back next week. And
indeed. Back from our usual headquarters.
Yeah, which I guess will be the Owl House.
It will be the Owl House.
And we shall talk to you all then. In the meantime... Have a great festival season.
See ya.
See you later.